What's that? Who are you?
Keep away from me!
Outbreak of Fear, a thriller serial in five parts by R.D. Wingfield, with Leslie Sands as Sergeant Fowler and Nick Orchard as Constable Roy Beaumont. Part 4, The Vault.
No. Out cold.
Let me see.
Ooh. Nasty lump on his head. He's been cosh. Beaumont?
Yeah.
Wet towel or something.
Right, Sarge.
There's no justice, Clarkie. Pete Carter and Eric Farrow get knifed. All he gets is a clout round the head.
Yeah, it won't half hurt him tomorrow, though, Sarge.
Yeah, there is that, I suppose.
It's not too wet, is it, Sarge?
Oh, no, that's lovely. Give it here. Mr. Chadwick. Mr. Chadwick.
What?
Easy, sir. Don't move your head. I did warn you.
Oh, what happened? Can't remember.
You've been coshed. Hold this to your head.
Careful! Oh. There's no one here. No police. No one. I radioed you. I remember doing that.
That's right.
I heard something. Someone was standing in that doorway.
Where the bodies are?
Yes.
Clarkie? Take a look.
Oh. All right, Sarge.
He had some sort of balaclava helmet on. All I could see was his eyes. And that's it. So he hit me. Next thing I knew, you were here.
Nothing seems to have been disturbed, Sergeant. It's all exactly as we left it.
Must have ducked inside to hide when he heard Mr. Chadwick.
But how did he get in the first place? There was supposed to be a police guard.
There was a fire, sir.
Fire? Help me up, will
you? Careful.
All right, I can manage. Where was this fire?
Harry Day's shack. He was the old boy we found dead on the moor yesterday.
Because I know who Harry Day is. Tell me about the fire.
We told him about the fire, the paraffin, the old tramp.
Joe Hardy. That old tramp again. I told you we should never have let him go, Sergeant. Where is he now?
Locked up in the station, sir.
And let's see what he's got to say for himself.
Cottage, you can't deny it. I can smell smoke and paraffin on your clothes. A welcome change from your usual stink. Your hands burnt. You were found hiding from the police. The jury wouldn't even have to retire. You did it, and all I want to know is why.
What? I broke in there, Sergeant. Don't deny that. All I wanted was a roof over me head and a real bed to sleep in. Is that too much for an old soldier to ask?
See ya.
Oh, plenty of sugar in mine, please, officer.
Who said you was having any? This is a police station, not a Dosser's tea house. Oh, all right, go on.
Ta.
Blimey, I knew it was a mistake. Now, come on, Joe, finish this fairy story.
Any biscuits?
Yeah, but you're not having any. Bad enough having to hear you drink without having you spit biscuit crumbs in my face. Now finish the flaming story.
I was asleep in that little room at the back. Oh, like heaven it was. Soft mattress, clean sheets. Lucky I kept me boots on, because something woke me up. I could smell smoke. The old place was burning round me. Smoke was so thick I couldn't get to the door. Had to smash a window in and get out that way.
Which window?
Little one at the back.
It was broken, Sarge. Glass on the outside.
Flung myself on the ground. Me clothes was on fire. Then I quickly legged over to that shed place before he spotted I was out and he hadn't burnt me alive.
Who are you talking about?
You'll give me a biscuit, won't you, sir?
Who are you talking about?
The bloke that burnt the place down. That's who I'm talking about.
You saw him? Did you recognize him? Can you describe him?
Now, he had his back to me. I just spotted him climbing into his van.
Joe, can you describe the van?
Yeah. Dark blue. Bit battered. Wing mirror missing.
Mitchell. It was Mitchell.
His van, anyway.
Don't quibble, Sergeant. It was Mitchell who burned down that cottage. must we have that disgusting noise?
Come on, take him over to the doctor's, get his hand dressed, then come straight back.
Come on, Joe.
Can I have a biscuit now?
Take the packet.
Oh, thank you, Sarge. Thank you, you're a gentleman.
Come on,
Sarge.
Turn down here. That's right.
Why did Mitchell burn it down, sir?
Well, I thought that was obvious. He wanted to get back inside Carter's house, but our men were on guard. So he lured them away, burnt down Day's old shack. As soon as Clark and Beaumont deserted their post, Mitchell nipped back in for whatever it was he was after.
And what might that be, sir?
The murder knife, perhaps?
You're not saying he's our killer. Anyway, the knife wasn't in the house. We looked.
I'm suggesting you didn't look thoroughly enough. There's one thing I am certain of. It was Mitchell who coshed me.
You said you couldn't see his face.
It was Mitchell. I'll take an oath on it. He's our killer. Bring him in, Sergeant. Now.
Come, Sarge.
You know the drill. I keep him talking. You slip off and have a nose around.
All right. What's your game?
You won't need the poker, Mr. Mitchell.
Sergeant Fowler. I'm sorry, but with this maniac on the loose, I couldn't afford to take chances. Already had someone break into my boathouse and smash the hull of my motorboat.
Sorry to hear about that, sir. It's not what we've called about, actually.
Now, what the hell do you want? It's 5 o'clock in the morning. You dragged me out of bed. Is that woman all right?
Mrs. Farrow? Perfectly all right, thank you. But her husband was murdered.
How terrible.
That's where the blood came from.
But I don't see how I can help.
We believe you know the killer, sir. We have information that he was seen entering your house.
That's impossible.
Very likely, sir. But we have to follow up all leads, no matter how improbable. Do you think we might come in and take a look around?
In here.
Thank you, sir.
On your way, Clarkie. Right.
Look. All the doors and windows are fitted with security alarms. There's no way he could have got in.
Just check them, would you, Beaumont?
Right, sir.
You mind if I sit down, sir? It's been one hell of a night.
Yes, yes, of course.
Oh, thank you. All alone in the house, Mr. Mitchell?
Yes. Where's the other constable?
Having a quick look round, just in case. Your lady companion not here?
No, she returned to London yesterday.
Just as well, sir. This isn't a very healthy spot at the moment. What time did you go to bed?
Bed? Let me see, about 3:15, I suppose. I left Mrs. Farrow with you, then came straight back here.
And you haven't been out since?
Of course not. Oh, will you be much longer?
Sarge? Oh, excuse me, sir. What do you got?
Found this in the hall.
Bring it in. Is this your jacket, sir?
No.
I think it must be, sir. It was hanging on your hall stand. It's even got your name on the inside pocket.
Then it must be mine.
What have you done to it, sir? It reeks of smoke and paraffin. Nasty burn on the sleeve. Expensive jacket, too.
I lit a bonfire in the garden.
Perhaps you'd like to show us where.
Well, not now. It's late. I'm tired. Come back tomorrow.
There's no bonfire to show us, is there, sir? The fire was at Harry Day's cottage.
Was it? News to me. Anybody want a drink?
You were seen, Mr. Mitchell. We have a witness. He identified you. He identified your van. He even took the registration number.
Who is this witness?
His name's Joe Hardy. He was inside the cottage. You had a damn good go at burning him alive.
It was empty.
No, sir, it wasn't.
I had no idea. If I'd known, I thought it was empty. It was an eyesore, a tumble-down eyesore. I'll pay for any damage.
There's nothing left of it.
All right, then, I'll pay the full market value of the cottage. Who owns it? His daughter, isn't it? I'll see her first thing in the morning. Whatever she wants for it, I'll pay. Don't worry. She won't have anything to complain about.
You can't buy your way out of murder, Mr. Mitchell.
Murder? What are you talking about?
Pete Carter, Sarah Carter, Eric Farrell.
Oh, no, Sergeant, you're not pinning that on me. I'm not answering any more questions unless my solicitor is present.
Then I suggest you contact him right away, sir. Tell him the charge is murder.
What's up with his phone?
Give it here. Dead. Must be a line down somewhere. You can phone from the station. I am charging you with the murder of Peter Carter, his wife Sarah Carter, and Eric Farrow.
You are not obliged to say anything, but anything you do say will be taken down and may be used in evidence.
The fire, yes. The killings, no. Whoever stabbed those people would be covered in blood. Look at that jacket. Search the house. Examine my clothes. You won't find one drop of blood.
How did you know they were stabbed?
The sergeant said...
You said they were stabbed.
No, sir. I said they were killed. You said they were stabbed. Now, how did you know that?
Dave Clark took Mitchell to the station while the sergeant and I went over that house with the proverbial fine tooth comb.
Everything in this house is brand spanking new. Nothing from his past, no letters, old photographs. What's through there?
His kitchen. Blimey. The gadgets, it's like something out of Star Wars.
Let's have a look. How many deep freezers does one man want? There's one, two, three, four. You'd better check them for bodies.
You're right, Sarge.
Only joking, Beaumont. There's about £1,000 worth of steak in this one.
Yeah, this one's full of chicken, salmon, rainbow trout.
What we got for dinner tomorrow?
Sausages.
You weren't here, I'd nick something.
Hey, this is full of carving knives.
Bag them for forensic. I very much doubt he's sticking the murder weapon back in his cutlery drawer, but you never know your luck. What's through here?
It led to the garage in the famous blue van. The van's rear doors were locked, but the sergeant had his bunch of keys with him. Inside was a deflated rubber dinghy and two paddles.
Still weighing. He's been busy tonight, hasn't he? Kills three people, burns a cottage down, belts Chadwick and goes for a row in the sea. Nothing's making much sense. Let's try upstairs.
There were four double bedrooms. Three of them apparently awaiting the casual visitor who arrived without luggage. Wardrobes and drawers crammed with brand new items of clothing in various sizes. Pajamas and nightdresses still in their original wrapping. The fourth, the master bedroom, contained a massive circular bed with silk sheets. On one of the pillows, the briefest nightdress I'd ever seen, and the heady erotic whisper of a very expensive French perfume.
Oh, get enough of that. It's that stuff they use to get pigs tonight. Good job Clark is not here, he'd go berserk.
That girl Kim was wearing it yesterday.
About all she was wearing. No wonder he eats a lot of meat. You see what I found here? Another mystery solved.
Flame-coloured sexy underwear. That's the same as we found in the vault.
So it wasn't the vicar cavorting nude amongst the stone coffins. It was Mitchell and his fancy piece. I'll say one thing for him. He keeps himself occupied. There's nothing else here. Let's get back to the station. I'd better let Clarkie know we're on our way. Fowler to Clark. Come in, please. Oh, no, not that again. Fowler to Clark. Useless. What are you looking pensive about?
Feeling a bit bitter, Sarge. Most of my courting's been done in the backseat of a Mini. Mitchell's got that warm bedroom, still a bed, that cracking blonde.
Yet he goes and has it off in a drafty vault with airwigs and spiders crawling God knows where. Stop the car.
What is it?
We're bloody fools. He'd never take a bird to that vault. He likes his comfort too much. You've only got to take one look at his house to realize that.
Yeah, but if he's dabbling in black magic...
Black magic, a skull and a couple of candles? That was a blind, a cover. Anyone poking their noses in the vault to find out what all the comings and goings were about would say, oh, a naughty black magic orgy, and wouldn't look much closer. We didn't, did we? We didn't search the place.
Then what else could it be used for?
That's exactly what we're going to find out.
What, now, Sarge?
Yes, now. What time is it?
Just gone 6 o'clock.
Nearly time to get up.
This is going to be a thorough search, Bowman. We're not going to miss a thing.
Smell that.
Cigarette smoke.
Someone's been in here since we have. They might still be down there. Be careful.
It was damn hard work. Stone coffins weren't meant to be moved, and at the far end of the vault they were stacked four high. Each one had to be lifted down and the lid removed.
Torch. Not in my eyes, in the coffin.
Bone size. One complete set.
Right. Let's get the next one down. Mind my flaming finger!
We found the stuff in the bottom two coffins. They were each crammed tight with dark brown sealed polythene packets. Fowler slit one open with his knife.
Cannabis. Top quality stuff. You're looking at a small fortune, Beaumont. No, not a small fortune, a damn big one. Do you know how much this little lot would be worth on the open drug market?
100,000.
You're miles out, nearly £1,000,000. And this is just one consignment. Lord knows how many others there's been.
How'd they get it here?
Same way the old brandy smugglers got their stuff in. Row out to the shipping lane, that was the rubber dinghy, take it off the ship and row it back here. It was tailor-made for it.
Oh, yeah.
Things are beginning to make sense now. With £1,000,000 at stake, life becomes cheap. Anyone standing in your way, kill them.
How was Pete Carter, his wife, Eric Farrow, standing in his way?
I expect they saw too much. Carter's house overlooks the cove.
And he didn't want two cops looking down on him either. That's why he drew us away with that cottage fire. But why did he kill Aldridge and old Harry Day?
I don't know, but he's going to tell us. Five people killed for this muck. Let's talk to Mitchell.
Home sweet home. I could even drink a cup of your tea, Bowman. That's how desperate I am. Clarky? Clarky? He's not here.
Well, his car's outside. He wouldn't leave Mitchell on his own.
Clarky! Clarky! Oh, my God! Give me a hand with him, quick!
Hold it there. Don't let us have any sudden moves.
Mitchell!
Please don't do anything silly, Sergeant. It's a real gun, and it's loaded. I'd hate to have to prove it to you.
This is very silly, Mr. Mitchell.
Not one more step. I'm already supposed to have killed three people tonight, so what's an extra village policeman or two? Constable Clark isn't badly hurt. A little tap on the head, that's all. Would you please drag him into that cell? Shall I shoot young Beaumont in the leg as a token of good faith?
Do what he says, Beaumont.
All right, Clarky. It's all right. Now what?
Don't come out. I'm going to lock you in. Throw me your car keys. Quickly.
As the sergeant fumbled in his pocket for the keys, my eye was caught by the door behind Mitchell. The handle moved slightly and began to turn. I pulled my gaze away and held my breath.
There.
Thank you. Sorry to do this. I appreciate how humiliating it must be. I'm sure someone will let you out. Eventually.
Drop the gun, then turn around very slowly.
What the...
Ah! You killed him.
Mitchell wasn't dead, but from the look of him, it was only a matter of time. We got him over to the surgery and then returned to the police house and slumped down in chairs to await the doctor's verdict. Chadwick alone seemed to be in high spirits.
Good job I turned up when I did, eh, Sergeant? He'd got clean away. How's the head, Clark?
Throbbing. No toothache. But it'll pass.
You're damn careless, Constable.
How's your head, sir?
Not too bad, thank you.
Good. Tell me something, sir. How was it you so conveniently happened to be carrying a gun?
I always carry one, Sergeant. I have special authority.
And does this special authority also give you the right to shoot and kill?
If necessary.
Was it necessary? You didn't even give him a chance to drop his gun.
I was aiming for his arm. I intended to wing him. He moved.
I didn't see him move.
He was bringing his gun up to fire at me. You wouldn't have seen. He had his back to you. My conscience is clear, Sergeant. We've got our killer. If he dies, we've saved the county the expense of a trial. What did you do with his gun?
Locked it away in the safe.
You better let me have the key.
It'll be quite safe, sir, I promise you.
Nevertheless, I'd like the key. Thank you.
Can I ask you a question, sir? If Mitchell had a gun, why did he go around stabbing people, smashing their faces in?
He's a sadist. It's more fun, slashing, stabbing, watching your victim's face. Ah, the good doctor. How's your patient?
Critical. We've got to get him to hospital. Is your phone working, Sergeant? Mine seems to be dead.
Sounds all right. Get the hospital for him, would you, Clarky? Take a seat, Doc. You look worn out.
You look like walking wounded yourself.
Morriston Hospital. Polford Police here. Have a call for you. Here, I've got the hospital, Doc.
Thank you. Hello, this is Dr. Lethbridge.
Yes, Doctor. How can I help you?
You're not the usual night operator.
I'm the relief. George is off sick.
I see. Can you get an ambulance to Polford right away? It's an emergency.
Sorry, Doctor. The police aren't letting anything through because of this rabies outbreak.
But this is an emergency. I have a patient requiring an immediate operation.
Then there's no way we can help, Doctor. All surgical wards have been closed. Serious cross-infection.
Damn! I'd better speak to the duty medical officer.
Again, I'm sorry, Doctor. He's not available for calls.
Not available?
Doctor, it's chaos down here. We're inundated with rabies cases. I'll leave a message and try to get him to phone you later. Oh, sorry, the other line.
Problems, Doctor?
All surgical wards closed because of cross-infection and the police aren't letting any ambulances through.
Couldn't we get a helicopter in, fly him to Treffley Hospital?
It's too far. The journey would kill him. I'll just have to do the best I can.
He's in good hands, Doctor.
What were you aiming for, Mr. Chadwick? His heart? Because if so, you're a damn good shot.
The night had slipped past and it was now morning. All we wanted to do was sleep. But there was one final chore before we could think of bed. The cannabis in the vault had to be brought back to the station and locked up safely in one of the cells. We all had to work like beavers. I say all, but Chadwick didn't join us. He seemed strangely disinterested in our haul.
Where's Mr. Chadwick then, Sarge?
He wandered off on his own, just in case he should be asked to help on the manual side.
Here, what was that key you gave him? That was never the safe key.
Yeah. It opens the stationery cupboard.
Hey, what's that?
The cards, Eric Farrell.
Oh,
news must have got around. Any more, Beaumont?
This is the lot, Sarge.
Good. Then let's see if we can remember what a bed looks like.
See you both in the pub tonight?
What for?
We solved the killings. We smashed the drug ring. Let's celebrate.
I've got nothing to celebrate, thank you very much. People have died.
Yes, Sarge. Here, you'll be there, won't you, Beaumont?
The pub was crowded. We had caught the killer, and everyone was happy. We were the heroes. People kept sending us over drinks. Then I noticed Sergeant Fowler signalling from the door.
Hey, we're having a great time, Sarge. Come over and join us.
Saunter over and get Clarky. I'll meet you outside.
Yeah, Sarge!
Do as your damn well told!
All right, Rose, we won't be long.
Blimey, Sarge, didn't we deserve a break? What the hell is it now?
Keep your voice down. There's been another killing.
What?
Miss Reed.
Oh, no.
Albert, over here a minute.
I'm not going back there, Sergeant.
No one's sending you back. Tell the constables what you told me.
I called at Miss Reed's place to drop her shopping in. I always pick it up for her. She gives me a cup of tea. Anyway, I knocked. No reply. No lights on. No smoke coming from the chimney. Not like her at all. I walked in the back. I knew something was wrong as soon as I saw the bedroom window. It was smashed in. I'd took a quick look inside.
Come on, Albert. Tell them what you saw.
I saw Miss Reed on the floor, hardly anything on. Her face was covered in blood.
Well, did you go inside?
No, I...
She might still have been alive.
No. You wait till you see her face. She was dead.
Okay, Albert. You get off home. There's the doctor. Come on, I'm sorry to break up the celebration, but perhaps it might have been a trifle premature.
Miss Reed had been getting ready for bed, undressing slowly in front of her uncurtained window. She had this option about men lusting after a naked body. There were now four men staring down at her. No one would lust after her now.
Shotgun. Fired from outside. The barrel smashed the window, then blasted her in the face.
How you moved there?
Between 10 and 12 o'clock last night.
Car outside, Sarge. Chief Superintendent.
Where's he sprung from? I was looking for him. Let him in, Beaumont.
Right, Sarge.
And we, can we cover her up, Doc? It doesn't seem decent.
The body, not the face.
Take a sheet from the bed, Clarky.
Right.
There you are, Sergeant. I was on my way to the station for you. I saw the car. Oh, God. When did this happen?
Last night. Not discovered until today.
Well, there's another one.
What?
That was why I was looking for you, Sergeant. You'd all better come with me. There's been another killing.
That was part four of Outbreak of Fear by R.D. Wingfield, with Leslie Sands as Sergeant Fowler and Nick Orchard as Constable Roy Beaumont. The rest of the cast: Dave Clark, Cornelius Garrett, Dr. Lethbridge, Paul Nicholson, Chadwick, Nicholas Courtney, Mitchell, Conrad Phillips, Joe Hardy, John Gabriel, Albert, Douglas Leach, and the operator, Brian Gere. The program was directed in Bristol by Brian Miller. Thank you.